are the dog's noises.
Why is there a dog?
Well, that's mine.
Did you have a dog? I didn't know.
Welcome to the Stray Fusion podcast with Philip and Doro.
Yeah.
Today, as you might have noticed, we're doing some kind of chat fiction. Well, we're talking about chat fiction today.
We're talking about chat fiction.
And
We just try to do chat fiction here, live on the podcast. Maybe a first that the chat fiction is being transferred to a podcast.
Well, yeah, it would be another research thing to check.
It would be, yeah.
So, if you don't know chat fiction is basically storytelling in conversational form. It was established 2016 by some apps coming out of Silicon Valley and other areas. It's all started with Hooked and Tap, and you'll soon learn more about that before we get into the details and the history of the genre or whatever you might call it. We start with talking about one of the stories. So what the podcast today will feature is we're going into detail or in a detailed analysis of three different stories on different platforms. We will share all the backgrounds to the platforms and the conventions of the stories that we could find out. And also we'll talk about a bit about the theory and how you might, I don't know, put that in a context of
some
kind. Yeah,
we'll try at least. We have three stories for you called The Resistance, Call from the Future, and Sext Operator. But let's start with the first story, The Resistance. The story of The Resistance is basically of a woman who is trapped in a certain way in a cellar. And she is chatting with some, what's the name of the other guy?
Eli,
right.
Her name is Olivia
Eli. Right. And Olivia is trapped in the cellar, and the evil secret service has come to take her family. And she is informing Eli, who is, as herself, part of the resistance against the regime, who is ruling the world or the country now. It's not really specified where it takes place and who these people are, but it jumps straight into the action.
Yeah, basically we have some kind of dystopic story. So a typical young adult, very...
very much.
Genre, very popular for a while already. But as it's called, The Resistance, first thing, and also with the cellar and listening to how your family is being taken away, being interrogated and tortured, my first thought was really going backwards in history, and only with the kind of communication they have going on through smartphone texts is like, okay, it can't be a historical thing, although it might be inspired by that.
Yeah, and they have this kind of new technology, like brainwashing people, like they are... I don't know, they are erasing, the regime is somehow erasing the memory of people and making them, complicit in the crimes of the regime. It's not really explained how it works, but of course seems to be some sort of future technology involved.
So you picked this story. What did you like about it?
I liked about it that it was relatively, they are all relatively short, but it captures a very dramatic moment very well. And it's something that is, and it works very well in this, because we have this character in the cellar who has to describe what's happening around her to Eli. Olivia is describing to Eli what's happening. And that works for me very well to set the scene, and it's logical in a certain way that would happen in this moment. It's not, there is a little bit of world building involved too when you're talking about who the people are, this kind of agents, government agents who are the evil government agents who've come, but it's kept to an absolute minimum, and it works relatively well as a basis of a story, I think, or at the begin as a beginning of a story. It's part one of who knows how many. The other ones aren't out yet, but it's, I think, even though, as you said, it's fairly conventional in its kind of dystopian future that it evokes, it's still, I think it works relatively well. What would you say?
Yeah, I think so too. It's a story that's that you can read on Tap, the app Tap, which is built by Wattpad. And for me, the story is also, well, it has an ending, as it is a part one, but as a reader, I wished already for continuance of the story, and also hoped that some of the effects might be reversible.
Yeah.
Because it's also kind of like a heroic step.
Exactly.
Olivia has to take.
It's a call to adventure, basically, right? For Eli, who might be, well, he's at least one of the main characters. And for those, sorry, I think one thing should be explained before we go on. This, as it is usual in chat fiction, for those who don't know, these conversations between these two characters are simply described or simply presented as chat messages to the reader. The reader is just having the text messages. We'll talk about this later a little bit, but usually there is nothing but these text messages which are being exchanged. So that is basically the hook of this kind of new literature, if you want to call it that way. But you have researched this very well, Dolo. I think you have written about that, so you are the expert. Today I'm...
Yeah, and sometimes I just think that everyone knows already that it's delivered in chat bubbles, and so therefore only in conversational style. But thanks for that. And you already mentioned the word hooked. So you get hooked by that kind of stories, which leads me exactly to the history of chat fiction, if you might call it like that. Hooked was the first platform that was built in that way. And the story how that came along was that a Silicon Valley entrepreneur tried to write a science fiction novel for young adults. And because she was kind of not satisfied that it took so long and so much research, and she wasn't sure if she really would find an audience, she decided, okay, I have to crack the system how stories get written. Somehow that doesn't feel right. So what she did then with her husband together, Prerna Gupta, by the way, is her name. What she did then is she started user testing. So she tried to find out how young people read on their phones, because that was the aim, to find something for that is really written and read on the phone. So she did some tests. She took from 10 best-selling young adult novels the beginnings, only 5 minutes of reading time, online, and through Facebook ads sent people of that age group, and it was clear, okay, they use that on their smartphones, sent them to the ads, sent them to the beginnings of the stories, and they measured how long people really read. Did they get to the end? Because 5 minutes, that's not long, but the results were like devastating somehow, because I think only a minimum of people really made it to the end, and only for the best functioning stories. So in most cases, people just stopped after 1 minute or something, and those were best-selling books. In the end, they decided, okay, let's try something, and they sent people to one story beginning that they delivered in chat form.
This is so typically
Silicon Valley lean startup, agile. Totally.
And these kind of focus group testing with Facebook ads, this seems to be a very favorite form of...
For me, this is really the super interesting part about that, because, I mean, the publishing industry tries to crack how to sell a mobile storytelling format for young people, because... what they're all about is they use their smartphones, they read on their phones, but no books and no ebooks, because who does read ebooks? No one. So a younger audience is not interested in ebooks. They buy print books, they read print books, but not on the phone. It's just really only a small percentage, and that's not enough to make that a working business model. So for me, it's kind of logical that someone who's not from has not that background tries to really something new and comes up with a new format like the chat fiction format. So what they decided then is, or they when I think 90% of the people they sent to the chat fiction thing really read until the end, so those 5 minutes on the phone. They 4 months later, they beginning of 2016, I think, they came out with the first chat fiction app that is called Hooked. And what's still going on like that, although they developed it further and further, is when you download the app and start it, the first thing you get thrown immediately into story. And to proceed with the story, you have to tap on the screen. In the meantime, it's like you can also kind of turn on some autoplay, but this tapping on the screen is really what makes it probably so addictive. And also the way it's written, which means you don't come to the end to the story until a screen pops up and tells you, okay, if you want to proceed reading and want to know now that you're on at that cliffhanger, that you want to know the end, then you have to subscribe now, either test it for free for 7 days, but we all know how that ends, meaning you forget it and then you have to pay. For
you
weekly
get timers.
Yeah.
Like,
and you
like
have
thing
if you,
in
if
cheap
you,
mobile games where you have to wait for 20 minutes, I think.
Right. That's also something they took from games.
To,
yeah.
Yeah.
So either you pay immediately or subscribe immediately, or you have to wait 20 minutes or 30 minutes until you can read on. So that's basically the business model, a subscription model, and that's working not only for Hooked, but also for all the other platforms that came out during the last year. First, or the biggest competition probably for Hooked is Tap, the app called Tap, which was developed by Wattpad, which is the biggest writing and reading community online. And what started with Tap is that everything become more multimedia, because in Tap you could implement pictures really quickly, not only in the chat bubbles itself, but also as background. They are working now on video, and audio is also possible. Hooked now has that too, and all the copycat apps that are out there, like Read It, I don't know how they're all called, you will all recognize
Yarn
them, because Yarn is not really a copycat. Yarn has has one thing different to all the others in form that they have fictional stories about VIPs.
Okay.
So that's like their thing that maybe makes them special. But Yarn still doesn't allow that you can write your own user-generated content, whereas
Strange.
In Hooked and in Tap, where you when you make an account, you can start writing too, which is kind of nice. So that's basically at the moment the
state of the art.
State of the art, yeah. Thanks.
I was thinking where you had the when you mentioned the. The focus group testing via Facebook and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I was thinking about games a lot, because there's something called clicker games, which are games which don't really have a purpose except that you tap on the screen of your smartphone the entire time. And most famous person perhaps is Fruit Ninja in that regard. For those who don't know Fruit Ninja, it's a game where fruit is being thrown at the screen basically, and you have to tap the fruit, and it is being sliced apart by a sword from a ninja. So, and you have also games like Cookie Clicker, I think was one of the first, where you just click the screen and cookies are raining from above. It's really strange. There is no real...
Why do people do that?
Yeah, you know, it's a feedback machine, I think. It's
okay.
like a pinball machine, right? I mean, a pinball is just, in a certain way, a very sophisticated clicker game. You know, you're pressing buttons and you see a ball in a big machine running around.
Yeah.
And
but there's some skill. I mean, also a lot of luck, but some skill to that. And this just tapping on the screen. But I mean, I was wondering the same thing with some of the stories I read, you know, because they were really badly written and I didn't have any connection to the emotional connection to the people that were talking there with each other. And it was so absurd. But still, I just had to continue tapping on the screen.
But maybe that's also a case for the two of us because we are working in this kind of...
Maybe. I don't know.
We just are addictive readers, right?
Yeah, but I think this has some...
Yeah, it definitely
addiction
has...
potential.
I mean, the point that you know, you're tapping on the screen and something happens is always seems to be some kind of... There's some kind of tangible quality suddenly to reading. I mean, it's also very satisfying to turn the page in a book, right? In a certain way.
Right.
It's, yeah. It just doesn't happen that often. It's just, you know, maximizing the kind of interaction that you have with your story in a certain way.
Yeah, but I think this clicker game mechanism is fascinating, how that works.
Yes.
So how stupid we kind of are somehow, or that you can trick the brain with stuff like that.
Absolutely, yeah. Humans are very primitive creatures.
Yeah.
Here, click that thing and something happens. Yoo-hoo!
I mean, the other thing I already mentioned a bit, mentioning cliffhangers, is what works best. The kind of stories that work best are really stories that have an attention potential. So I think that what all the genres that work well in chat fiction have in common is suspense.
Mm.
So I think when they started, the first stories were mostly from the thriller, mystery, crime, and horror.
Yeah, there are lots of those, yeah.
Yeah. And they still have a lot of those, but now they're spreading further. I think also since Tap came on board, because Wattpad, the writers you have there, they are mainly...
Huge community.
Yeah. They have fantasy, what doesn't work at all, I think, as chat fiction.
Very few fantasy stories I saw. And
but romance also works very well.
Romance, of course, works very well. And something which I was strangely absent to was science fiction. Maybe it has a little bit... Do you know something about the kind of target groups? I mean, is it more female or more male or something? Do you know something about
it's,
that?
It's close to 50-50, bit more women reading.
Right.
And when I say women, so the age group that is most drawn to these kind of stories is something between 14 and 24. So they are all under 25 for now. And I think that might change with the romans, but we're coming to that later.
Yeah.
So they are, quite very young age, so generation Z to millennials beginnings maybe.
I was wondering because what would also be interesting to see is Wattpad is very large in countries we don't really, you know, think about very often, like Indonesia and Turkey and
Philippines.
Would be interesting to see if the same would be true for Tap, for example.
Yeah, I don't know yet. Yeah.
Hooked, I don't know either. I mean, these apps are definitely available in a variety of languages, right? I mean, it's...
Yeah. They started only English. Then they had very... So Hooked had a very bad translation into German first. It was so... funny, really. So normally you have each tap, so each chat bubble is a hoot, and you had a certain number of hoots, and the way they translated that, I think just by some kind of algorithm, it was, they called
Google
it Brüller. Brüller, which is like if you cry out loud.
Yeah.
It was like, oh my god. It sounded terrible. And also the stories were in the beginning, the most popular story was Where Is She? That was the story that you opened the app with, and they translated that to Wo Ist Sie? And it was so full of mistakes in the beginning, but they cleaned that up now, and it kind of works now well in German too.
Yeah, it something that you mentioned when we talked about it for the first time was griplet, which term that I wasn't familiar with before. Maybe you can explain the connection.
Ah, yeah, that's kind of interesting because I found an article in The Guardian quoting a study, I think, about what people who were raised or growing up with Harry Potter, so are now 25 to maybe 35 years old, what they are reading now. And they found out that the novels they were drawn to could be categorized as griplet, meaning stories like Gone Girl, Girl on a Train. So thrillers with female protagonists that are kind of shady or difficult personalities. So they are not really what they seem. They have like a split personality. And these books are page turners. So you can't stop reading them, really. And what I was thinking is maybe chat fiction is like a short version of griplet, because it's like you get hooked. You can't stop either. And because when I started researching that, you only had more or less like really suspense novels, thrillers, psycho thrillers. It was kind of quite similar to that, but drawing in a younger audience.
When we started talking about this, I was thinking about a little bit of the historical connections there are. I mean, we have the novel in letters, which have been a huge, something which was very popular in the 19th and even 18th century, with something like Les Liaisons Dangereuses and Die Leiden des Jungen Werthers and stuff like that, which are novels which are written in letter form, and which also very often had this kind of, you know, scandalous and themes that they are something is happening and people are talking about it, and you can read about that, which is also some element which is very prominent in chat fiction.
Isn't Nathaniel Thorne's Nathaniel Hawthorne's Scarlet Letter also?
Could be. I haven't read it, I have to admit. I do remember a short story by H.P. Lovecraft, which was where one of the main characters is on a phone and exploring a cave and describing what he sees on the while being on a phone with somebody else, which is also, of course, an attempt to capture the technology of the day into a thriller. A supernatural thriller in the case of Lovecraft. But I think in a certain way this is something of chat fiction might be something of an update, right? I mean, it's definitely something that is trying to tell a story through new technology, or the kind of communication that we have in this with this new technology.
I think so. I mean, that's also kind of the way they found out that
that's
a story might work like that.
Yes, right. I mean, yeah, sure. Maybe we can go to the second story in the call. We wanted to talk about A Call from the Future. I think you chose that one.
I chose that one, but I have to confess that I read that a while ago. So I'm not sure about the names of the characters. But what we have is like a young woman babysitting.
Casey,
babysitting, and she gets messages from, and now my Siri is turning on when I said Casey and wants to talk to me. That's kind of spooky. But we come back to that in the end when we're talking about interactivity and what might be the future, because Siri might play a role in that. Okay, so Call from the Future is a story that's on Hooked. Right?
I think Hooked, yeah.
And we follow Casey, who gets text messages from an...
Whenever you say Casey, that your phone wants to talk to you.
Oh my God. Mean... Yeah, and now it wants to order me a taxi.
Siri wants to be a part of the podcast too. Maybe we have to put your phone a little bit further away from the microphone so
yes,
doesn't
get
triggered all the time by,
okay,
by that name.
Okay, so I put my phone away now and hopefully I won't mention the name of the protagonist again. Yeah, no. Okay, so she gets text messages from an unknown caller telling her that the next 5 minutes of her life will be the most important. And we learn then that although she's babysitting, she's not really fulfilling her duty really, right?
Yeah, she's with her boyfriend instead.
Yes, she's with her boyfriend instead. And the voice, the unknown number, urges her to go and look after the child. And now you have to jump in because I'm not sure at which point we learn who the unknown caller is.
It's basically in the middle of the story when Casey says, I'm freaked out by who you are and how you know so not much about my life. And I'm not going to do anything unless you tell me who you are. And then...
spoiler.
It's revealed that the unknown caller is Casey, but from the future, who has... We don't know how somehow been able to contact the Casey of the past.
And why does she do that? So what's the motive behind all that?
Well, the child has managed to open the door and is outside. And shall we spoil the story? I think we can spoil the story. And the child is on the road somewhere. It has gone outside and somewhere it's in the middle of traffic and Casey has to save that little boy, I think.
So while she's running after the child, she still manages to exchange text messages with her future self.
Well, that isn't so badly made because she says that she is in the park and she doesn't know where to go because she doesn't know the park that well.
Okay. Yeah.
So, the ending is still very ironic, I think, in that regard, because it's one of the... we have to decide...
come on.
Shall I tell?
Yeah,
okay,
please.
I tell. Because she is basically... She admits that she saves the boy, but she gets struck by the car herself. And now she is lying on the ground... And still text messaging her future self that she's lying on the ground and everything is going dark. So it's ending. We don't know what's happened afterwards, but it's, I mean, one of the very strange, let's say, conventions of this genre that people are still texting when something terrible has happened.
Yeah.
When they're basically running from the murderer who is with a knife right behind them. Or when they are dying, they're still writing text messages.
But maybe that's our future, you know?
Maybe.
We're going to document everything. And so it won't be a problem anymore to also text everything. And I mean, we just had this funny thing that my phone or Siri... on my phone jumped on twice, so you know, who knows.
Yes, maybe Siri is going to send text messages of your last words to your friends and family.
Yeah, who knows. But another
I didn't want to interrupt you.
I think what is presented with a kind of twist here is this element that in most cases in chat fiction you have a real life event happening, real time event happening, something that you witness as a reader, where you become like a voyeur somehow.
Yeah, I think this element of voyeurism is very strong in chat fiction because it's always, and that's somebody, one of the many conventions that genre seems to have, that it's always some kind of a very urgent situation that you are in, whatever it is, and it's happening right now. And
Don't talk to anybody. Don't leave the house or leave the house immediately. Don't look back. No, don't look back. Oh, I told you, don't look back.
I think that's a problem, I think, with many of these stories being in the suspense, because they are always trying to... Well, they're all using the same shorthands or conventions to achieve this.
Yeah.
With, and people, you know, information being deliberately not being communicated to the whoever it is that is involved in these kind of situations, which basically just leads to, oh, I didn't tell you about my secret twin brother who also a psychopath and wants to murder you and stuff like that.
That happens quite often. And the other thing that's happening in every second story that I read is that the person you're communicating with isn't the person that you think it is. So either phones get swapped or this person is just a psychopath lying to you. One of the two it is in most cases.
Yeah, that's true. I read one story. I don't know, don't remember the name. The protagonist, a young woman, is talking to her mother.
Mm.
And it turns out that the mother is a murderer who has just murdered the father who has had an affair. And
that's where is she?
Where is she? Is that okay? Yeah. That's
where the baby is crying in the basement.
Didn't remember the name of the story, but yeah, I read that.
What I think is funny with this story is that it has so many repetitive cliffhangers that all work following the same thing, and nevertheless, it works.
Yeah, I have to admit that I was tired because there's always this kind of I don't go to this to the cellar. There's something there. I have to go. No. And that's dragged out for so long
until she's finally going
to the cellar. Mm. When you, I thought that was a little bit tedious, to be honest.
But it still worked well enough to get a lot of people hooked, because when I first downloaded it, that was the first story coming up. And in the beginning, you didn't even have a chance to leave the story because we were just able to tap until the end.
Yeah. And now the story is the one with the evil twin brother is the one that you get when you starting up hooked. So I don't know. I'm not sure if these really are the kind of stories you want to that gets people hooked on hooked. I'm wondering if I'm perhaps I'm too old.
I just wanted to say maybe we are not the main audience for that. Yeah, we're not the target group. But and that maybe might be our way to next thing is what's really interesting, as I mentioned before, is when Tap joined the app game about chat fiction, romance became more prominent.
Mm. Because it's now, a huge thing on Wattpad.
Right. And also in this age group of teen girls to young women. So what happened now is that recently Hooked released their own copy of Hooked called Steamy, which is for readers 17 years old of age and older, and is full of all romance novels and erotic novels they have on Hooked. But it's like only this genre now,
which is a interesting decision to make, right? Because it's usually in gaming there's the how do you say it? Something like a saying that you should not split your audience, and they doing it deliberately, which might have something to do with a subscription model, because they you're using two of their apps, of course you're playing twice.
I don't know how that's going to work out, but I could imagine that maybe they are now, well, I mean, they have a, I think it's now only women they target with that, and probably because it's 17 years and older. Also, I think it will be women older than 25, so their usual target group will probably jump onto that, because basically what's possible now is like sexting stories.
Yeah, that's true. I was also wondering, we shortly talked about this, how much it has to do with the age restrictions on the app stores. Either if it's Android App Store or Apple App Store, because they're usually not allowing pornographic content. But these stories are, I mean, they're not super explicit, but they are adult in nature. I mean,
yeah.
It's still, well, let's just jump to the next story, because it's just what that is about. It's called Sext Operator. It's by, you
Gina
know,
L. Maxwell, which is a best-selling New York Times, USA Today best-selling novelist for erotic romance novels.
And the story is about a woman who...
Sarah,
who is contacting an...
Sext for fun hotline.
The Sext for fun hotline. She's connecting with
operator 69.
Operator 69, exactly. It's
hilarious. Yeah.
It's not subtle.
No.
But that's, I mean, the premise is exactly that. I mean, we have a lonely woman who wants to sext. So she is, well, talking to operator 69, who seems to be a very charming man, who is giving her missions that she has to fulfill.
So basically what that turns into quite quickly, so she gets his real name, probably. Isaac. And what that turns into is like, you have an alpha male, probably. Which is kind of like a genre convention as well, because he gives her a mission and he tells her what she should do.
I mean, it's catering to very specific fetishes. I mean,
right.
It's the two fetishes which are most prominent in this story are public exposure and this kind of dominant submissive dynamic, which is not. It's not BDSM, right? It's commanding man and a submissive woman who does what he says her to. So the first mission that she gets is relatively normal. She is supposed to watch porn and find out what she likes. And she finds out, oh, I'm turned on by porn which is shot in public places. So that's what he tells her to do next. Okay, go and put on no panties and go to your... She was working from a cafe most of the time, so she's supposed to go there, and there she meets someone.
Right, she meets a colleague of hers, and...
Is he a colleague? I thought he was just a college student or something.
Oh, I thought he's like a colleague. Maybe I misread that.
I'm not sure
so
either.
So, in a normal working place, I thought he... Oh, maybe you are right, and it's just a cafe, and I overread that. Anyway, so he's younger than her, and they had like eye contact once.
Yeah, the first time.
And she finds him attractive, and I think it's also one of the missions.
He's a bit younger than her.
Yeah, and she says, no, that doesn't work at all. And the operator, Isaac, tells her, well, why? We'll work on that. And you already suspect that maybe...
There's a connection.
There's a connection, and maybe this operator 69... has another life as well, and who knows?
Well, he does say that he has another
right.
life, but we don't
right.
know. Of course, we can't verify if it's true. He says he's an investor, and he's just doing the sexting for fun.
Yeah, yeah,
which
yeah.
Which is kind of strange, but that's exactly the kind of mystery that the story builds up. And of course, the missions that he gives her are getting more and more sexual and more explicit. She is he's. In a certain way, building up her confidence, her sexual confidence.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the liberation of sexual freedom, liberation, finding her true self thing.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a genre convention.
Yes.
So in like romance novels, erotic romance novels, but it's very well done in this one, in this short dialogue form.
Which is something that... both of us found very interesting, because it actually doesn't always stick to the genre conventions of chat fiction.
That's right. That's right. It was the first story where I really saw that sometimes you have some kind of like a...
description?
Description, like a screenwriter would put in a script.
And you also have a normal dialogue, which is presented exactly the same form as the chat, but
right,
it's actually
in the cafe. Right.
With the mystery stranger.
Yeah.
With a,
and actually, I think that helps a lot to deepen the characters, and to just make a better emotional connection as far as that is possible in such a short form.
I think it's very interesting because the writer, what was her name again?
Maxwell, Gina L. Maxwell.
Gina Maxwell. Obviously, she, I think she put a lot of thought into what she did there because she is, on the one hand, she is still writing extremely short sentences. Even the prose is just usually just one line, and even and the normal dialogue is very much written like as if it were a chat, but so it doesn't break the kind of rhythm that you have with the tapping on the screen, and you know you get basically one line of text with every tap that you. So it still feels very close to the chat to the other chat fiction stories that I read, but it at the same time it doesn't, you know, it tries new things.
And it has not really a repetition. So it kind of has too, but the level of intensity is turned on from repetition to repetition. Like the missions are kind of repetitive, but they are all different in
and
nature.
And they always get a little bit more sexual.
Yes. And also her reactions to that. In other chat fiction, you often have this, don't go in the cellar, but I have to.
Yeah.
Don't go in the cellar, but really, oh, it gets worse. And you can't keep on reading that because it's just stupid, you know?
Yeah.
Either do it or don't. And it doesn't really engage you more if you read four times the same thing without any other reason than, but the baby is crying. and that's something that doesn't happen here. So if she says, I don't know if I can do that, she gives another reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you learn more about the people. And
right.
That's what makes it better than all the other stories I read.
That's true. I mean, you also notice that this is a professional writer, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the other stories were written by who knows who these
well,
people are.
Well, a lot of them are students from creative writing courses or who finished already.
But that doesn't mean that they have experience, right? I mean,
right.
Gina Maxwell is somebody
right.
who has
yes.
a best-selling writer.
Yes.
It's a completely different level, I'd
yeah.
say.
Yeah, yeah.
Which brings me to something that I think is very interesting because my analysis of the stories was that I think that the chat fiction in a certain way is a little bit of a misunderstanding, because I was thinking when I read the story of when I read the Sext Operator, I was thinking, okay, what's compelling about this kind of app or this presentation of the stories in this kind of app isn't actually that you are reading the chat of somebody else, but that you get it in a specific form, that you get the story in a way which is very easy to consume, that you have don't get to huge chunks of text which might be off-putting, which might be very hard to concentrate on. You always get just tiny bits and pieces which are very easy to consume and which allows people to read in under circumstances where they maybe would not be able to read complicated books in, such as you ride on the subway or you are just, you know, have a 5-minute break. And I think that is my thesis. My theory would be that this is the core of the experience in a certain way, and it isn't really the chat in itself. Of course, the chat makes it a little bit more lifelike and more easier to identify with for people who are immersed in this kind of world where you do a lot of communication with chats. But on the other hand, I think you don't have to force your story into this format of being in a chat if you can instead do it like Gina Maxwell did in Sext Operator, that you can just break it down into little chunks which you can present to the reader.
Well, I think the dialogue is the crucial point. And because it's on a phone, it's kind of natural that it's presented as text chats, or even then you also have audio parts in and sometimes pictures that they send each other. And I don't know, for me that's really the most important part. And because it's this, you as a reader participate on two levels, I think. One is this interactive part of you have to tap on the screen.
But which isn't limited to chat, right? I mean, it's...
That's true. But the other is that you kind of get a glimpse of a conversation that's going on between other people. And this, I think, applies to a lot of people. So I don't know. I don't really agree that the chat part or I am...
We don't have to agree on this.
I know. I don't see the importance of the differentiation, because I think with what you come up with, that it's about dialogue, which you say too. Mm-hmm. I think that's really the most important thing. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's like, okay, but it's natural that if it's presented on the phone, that it's like chat fiction. Mm. So yeah.
I think I think you're absolutely right in your analysis that it's about dialogue, because I have the experience. I worked in a library for a short time, and it's been 20 years, long time ago. But anyway, I worked in a library for a hospital, and people there. We had a little bit of a
wagon or
You
drove books around.
Yeah, we drove books around to the people who were lying in the hospital beds, and they could choose from our vehicle. They could choose the stuff, the books that we had there. And there were many people who, just took a book and they quickly flipped through it. And if there was too much prose and too little dialogue, they put it back on the shelf.
Mm.
And they would always pick books which have lots and lots of dialogue instead of, because they considered prose to be very hard to read and boring, and you had to imagine stuff, and you had to be immersed in this world, and dialogue was much easier for them to read, which I can somehow, I don't want to put these people down. It's especially if you're in a noisy hospital room, it's easy to understand that you don't want something that is very complicated to read. So I totally get why you would want something that is easy to read in this context. And in so far, the chat fiction is very much in line with this kind of experience that I made there, because it's also mostly dialogue. And of course, we have things like audio plays, which are also mostly dialogue and very little, I mean, completely different format, but still, the prevalence of dialogue in these kind of popular formats is definitely something that is noticeable.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. So maybe as a last point, something for the future, maybe, I don't know. I mean, we already spoke about that they include now more and more multimedia elements, and
it's always the same stock photos. It's always the same stock photos. They are horrible. I don't remember the name either, about, which wasn't badly written. It was actually quite good. It was about a private detective, a woman who was trying to convince her ex-boyfriend to do the spying on a couple, and they had used stock photos as the kind of pictures that he shot of the couple, and the people in the pictures were always different, because of course they're just, taking stock photos from somewhere, wherever they could find them, but of course it wasn't the same people, and it had something of a comedy. Well, it was more laughable than good, but of course they had pictures, so
I haven't read that one, but in the other cases I can confirm with the stock photos. So stock photos, audio, and then another thing we're going to be talking about in another podcast episode will be interactive fiction. But what we realized just right now is that TAP is now testing interactivity too. yeah. in their stories. So we found one. It's called Interview Skills, where you could choose your own ending. So it's only one option and one time that you can choose. But nevertheless, I found that quite interesting, because for me that was something for future development, because all these interactive storytelling things are so huge now since Netflix started to develop stories like that. And I think a lot more will follow up.
Yeah, it's definitely a trend to have this kind of, I mean, you have very popular games which are working that way already. Just the Telltale games, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they are more sophisticated and have lots of, they are fancy in a certain way.
Mm.
And they have sometimes also events which are happening on screen, but they mostly consist of choosing dialogue options, right? And they're very popular.
Yeah. So we thought that might be something for the future, but now they're already testing it. And if you take it one step further, I think it would be super interesting to have a narrator like Richard III or Francis Underwood, meaning Frank Underwood. So someone who breaks through the fourth wall of the screen and who leaves the dialogue, the conversation of two people addressing you as the reader. For me, that would be the natural next step. And I think with chatbot technology, that might also be just the next step from a technology perspective.
I think they are pretty far in the, what they can do now. I mean, something like Markov bots. I don't know if for those who are not familiar with the term, Markov bots are bots which can parse text and basically form meaningful sentences simply by taking chunks of text and combining them with each other. They are not very creative. They don't really know what they are doing. They're just can see basically patterns which repeat themselves, and then they repeat these patterns themselves.
So this new Harry Potter chapter you sent me yesterday on Twitter, that was Markov bots?
Probably, yeah. Markov bots are very, very good if they have large chunks of text, right? Like the Harry Potter books, they're basically, if one word is followed by another word very often, they will learn that basically.
I see.
They are still limited, because the Harry Potter chapter I sent to you is still absurd.
Yeah, it's super funny.
Surreal. But that's a kind of state of the art. I mean, at least what you can do with if you aren't Google, basically, that's what you can do right now with these kind of bots.
Yeah, so it will be interesting. Maybe next year we'll be talking about the first chatbot real storytelling experience that leaves the absurdity, or Markov bots. That's not chatbot. Forget what
said. Markov bots is just a kind of programming that happens there. It's still a chatbot. I mean, there was, I remember that 2 or 3 years ago, there was something, there was an app which was called something like my beautiful boyfriend or something like that. I would have to check that. It was very interesting to see, because it was state of the art back then. It was a little bit like a Tamagotchi, where you could, you know, talk to a fictional person who appeared on screen. I think it was the app was in origin from Asia, and had brought this over to the Western world, and it was also, I tested it once. It was very absurd with the kind of conversations that he had with this chatbot, basically. But the interesting thing was that it was learning from the input that you made.
Yeah.
And also from other users who made this input. Still, it was, 2 or 3 years ago, I have to check. So it might be much better by now. The technology might have moved on. So, well, maybe we're going to see that in chat fiction soon. Who knows?
Looking forward to that. And maybe that's also the wrap-up for tonight, today.
Yeah, what do we recommend our readers to have a look at? If they are interested in these kind of topics. I mean, besides the apps that we mentioned.
So actually, I have one game, mobile game, one app that I would recommend. It is not strictly chat fiction. It's called A Normal Lost Phone. And basically, it's you reconstruct the story of a person through their phone. So what you get is a lot of text messages, but also other functionalities that are embedded on the phone, like the calendar, the email app, and all that stuff. Also, weather is important, and the gallery for sure. And later you'll find another app in this app called Lovebirds, and well, just check it out. It's really cool. I have to confess, to play it through, I had to check out on YouTube some stuff.
Oh, Siri wants to.
And Siri wants to talk to us again now. So yeah, so check out a normal lost phone.
And I can recommend also a game in this case. It's called Emily is Away. And there's also a second part, which is called Emily is Away 2. Emily is Away is a free game, which can be found on itch.io and Steam. And it's very interesting because it's basically chat fiction, but from another era, because it's from the time when you had stuff like the AOL Messenger or Yahoo Messenger and... And it's basically teenagers talking to each other through this kind of chat, and you are one of them. So it's more interactive than the kind of chat fiction that you would find on Hooked or Tap, but it's very, it's a very good story simply, and it's, of course, it's free, so I can only recommend to give it a try.
Nice.
Then thank you for listening, and see you next time.
We chat next time, huh?
Yeah. See you.
See you.